Mayor Derek Dobies joining us. Good morning, Mayor Dobies.
Good morning, Greg. How are you?
Good. Any executive orders on Halloween? What are we doing?
Well, Halloween is certainly going to look different this year. I think that people are going to be taking some... We're still going to have a resolution coming up here on Tuesday for our city council meeting to establish the Halloween hours between 6 and 8 o'clock on Thursday the 31st. But we're also going to be encouraging any families that want to trick-or-treat during that time period to be advised to stay home if they're sick, maintain social distancing of 6 feet, wear a cloth mask, covering your mouth and nose, not just a Halloween mask, but actual cloth mask, and maintain social distancing of 6 feet if you're not within the same household. Make sure to wash your hands and do all the same things that you would do if you were just practicing social distancing and safe practices without wearing a Halloween costume. And we're encouraging homeowners that want to participate to kind of mark out 6-foot lines in front of your home, have, as per the state standards, try to position kind of a distribution table between yourself and trick-or-treaters to make sure that as candy's being passed out, it's being passed out in as safe a way as possible. So we're going to see how it goes. I think other cities are grappling with this too. We also, the DDA is putting together kind of a fall fest down at the farmer's market for people, I believe, in mid, the date here, but mid-October. So we're going to be getting some more information out about that as another safe way that families can engage and celebrate the holiday season.
Yeah, this is a tough one, isn't it, really?
Yeah, I mean, you know, we've started to see candidate campaigns themselves figure out how to go door-to-door during a pandemic. And you know, whereas before you'd have someone, you know, banging on your door and talking to you kind of close up, we've seen a lot of candidate campaigns kind of knock on the door, leave a piece of lit, kind of step back while wearing a mask and talk from a distance. With the, you know, kind of the exchange of candy, it certainly makes it a little bit more difficult. So we want to try to put as many guidelines as possible, but it's, you know, it's got to be much like a lot of things these days. It's got to be a judgment call by the parents to see what is safe and what they want to have their kids do. So it's going to be challenging, but we're going to try to allow it. I know, you know, people spend a lot of time cooped up and inside, and you know, it's I think it's something that with the proper precautions that we can do safely and allow kids to dress up. I know my own daughter is chosen to be a vampire. She's told my wife that she's going to dress up as a witch, and I have been instructed to dress up as a banana. I don't get the theme, but.
Oh, joy.
Somewhere in there, yeah.
Good deal.
Yeah.
Come on over. We've got some candy bars for you.
I'll head up to your house first.
Hey, the wrecking ball hitting a Jackson landmark, Frank's Finer Foods.
Not too many more fine foods in there, I think, anymore. But that was, as you know, Greg, that was always a hot spot for illicit activity, and recently had a fire in years past, which made the building condemnable. Uh-huh. And we'd actually put a lot of resources into kind of cleaning up the surrounding area, improving the infrastructure around there, kind of beautifying that intersection, putting some more lighting and raising the tree canopy to make that a little bit safer or feel safer, and it actually cut down a lot of that activity in the first place. And then when the fire broke out, a lot of that activity moved out of the area. So now we got a big dilapidated, burnt-out building, and coming up on the city council meeting here on October 13th, we're going to hopefully be able to award funds from the city demolition fund, I think to the tune of $55,000 or so. Part of that's going to be covered by the property's insurance company, but we're going to tear it down and have a nice big green space there on that corner, similar to what we did with Gooman Tire. And I think it's definitely a landmark, but it's been a problem in years past. It's probably one of the properties that we've had the most complaints on in my time on council. And hopefully we'll be able to get it down and use that to start to redevelop that property in that area.
Yeah, years ago, that was a very nice business, but yeah, it deteriorated with the neighborhood there over the years. It's too bad. You've got Ames Message Center, beautiful facility right across the street.
Yeah, well, Ames has done a really good job in helping to improve the aesthetics over there and kind of watch out for the surrounding neighborhood. Mm-hmm. I know we've put up a lot of, they've helped to beautify their property, and they want to the same for kind of the properties surrounding there. So I think it'll hopefully be good. And that's kind of what we've been doing in certain areas around town, is removing the blight and starting to allow for some of these other properties to be redeveloped.
What's the latest with the MLK corridor group?
Yeah. So a couple of things surrounding MLK, actually. As you know, we passed a resolution establishing a public hearing, establishing an intent to create a MLK Corridor Improvement Authority. That will allow us to make a very concerted effort to take a lot of the progress that we see downtown, bring it out and into the neighborhood, and this one in particular down the MLK Corridor from Franklin all the way down to South Street, then parts of Prospect. So that's up for decision deliberation on October 13th, coming up here next Tuesday. And I think it'll be great. I think it'll drive a lot of economic development down through that corridor. It'll be a point of conversation and discussion about what sort of businesses and what sort of amenities we want to attract to the south side, and how we really want small businesses grow along that corridor and minority-owned businesses grow. You know, we've had a lot of interest over the past 6 months of new minority businesses wanting to locate within the city, businesses that have already started that want to grow and expand. So I think that area there is ripe for that sort of activity. And what we've seen over the past couple of years is, when we make public improvements and public investments, that attracts private capital and private investment and attracts those businesses. So I think it's a great opportunity, particularly great in light that we're making some other improvements within that area. And mm-hmm. The MLK Road, that crosses the MLK Trail from Prospect there. We actually, from Morrell to Prospect, we put new lighting along the trail to light it up, make it safer, allow people to access it and use it at all times of the year. We just got a $300,000 Michigan Department of Natural Resources Trust Fund grant to take that lighting from Prospect Street all the way out to Weatherwax. So the new along the quality trail there are going to go and extend all the way out to Weatherwax, and those run from Morrell through the MLK Center, which, and we're planning a ribbon cutting for later in October. So stay tuned for that as we kind of put some of those pieces together. You know, as we put, I think, over $1 million into MLK Center. If you drive by, you'll see the new windows that were cut in, put a new roof, some new treatments on it. So we're really excited about, you know, some of the investments that we're doing out in the neighborhoods and in these cases down on the south side.
The Derek, the county is cutting $2.5 million from their budget. They're still moving ahead, I know, with at least a couple road projects. What about in the city? Obviously, you're not flush with cash, but mm-hmm. I think you still have some road plans, don't you?
Yeah, so we made some hard cuts earlier this year in our budget. We are still monitoring what's going to be happening here and making sure that we're financially stable into the future. But yeah, we're still moving forward with road construction projects. People have, you know, at the beginning of my term, people were complaining about the lack of roads getting done, and now I hear a lot more of there's too much construction and I can't get through the city. So we're that's a good problem to have, I think. You know, we're continuing to move forward with street construction. In fact, on October 13th, we're going to be establishing a public hearing for water main replacement and street reconstruction on Steward from Amtrak up to Ganson Street there. And then another section that I travel frequently coming into downtown, Morrell Street from Greenwood over to MLK. Just a horrible section. So
that is bad.
Yeah, it's weaving all over the street. So doing a public hearing, I think establishing that on November 10th for water main and street reconstruction for that section of Morrell, which is pretty terrible.
So when's your next meeting, Derek?
Next Tuesday. Yep, so next Tuesday we're going to be working on all of those issues and you know, that'll be back to two meetings a month, and we're waiting to kind of see what happens. The next meeting will be online, but we're still waiting to see where this battle between the state legislature and the governor shakes out in terms of some of the other executive orders as to whether we're going to continue to have those online, those meetings online, or if we're going to be having them back in a physical space. So I think we've done a good job in keeping with the spirit of public input and public comment and transparency while maintaining kind of this safe practice and safe space of using these online formats. So
hey, you
hopefully
did,
they'll work something out.
You did want to touch on poverty exemption.
Yeah, so we've had this huge conversation around equity in the city, and yep. One of the things that we've been working on is having all of our city department heads start to think through their internal processes about how we can build a more equitable community. And I want to give a shout out to Jason Yoakum, our city assessor, who you don't often hear from. You know, he's quiet but diligent worker at City Hall, and he kind of went through our poverty exemption guidelines and made some recommendations to make it more equitable. What the process that we've had in the past is that the amounts, obviously we have property tax reduction for those that are low income, and traditionally that's been on a scale that is a percent reduction as the percentage of your income relates to the property tax payment that you have to make. So if that it's kind of a hard to explain on the radio, but as your as that ratio increases, the amount of your exemption goes up. So if you have a high property tax payment and a large portion of your income is going towards that payment, you can get a larger reduction. And what that often has the effect of is in some of the higher end neighborhoods, are getting higher poverty exemptions, higher reductions in their property taxes, and then some of the lower income areas where that ratio wasn't necessarily as bad, but just because some of the home values were lower. You saw that people weren't getting the 100% poverty exemption. So there's a proposal to do away with the ratio and just make those poverty exemptions based on the federal poverty guidelines. Mm-hmm. And I think it makes sense. It's something that we've talked with Community Action Agency about, and they're excited about as a way to build more equity into the city. We also, in addition to exempting the first residents, would exempt the first car, because we know that those that are in low income still need, under the size of the family, still need at least one car in this economy to be able to get around and get family members around to the job. So I think it'll make for a more equitable system in the way that we approach poverty exemptions and the way that we approach our work in helping to lift people out of poverty.
Jackson Mayor Derek Dobies. Derek, appreciate the visit.
Hey, thanks, Greg. Appreciate it. Have a great week.
Talk to you next week. Thanks. The mayor.